let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with, amazingly, Father John Wargle. How are you doing, Father John?
We got a big one today, don't we?
I know. It's amazing, the content. It's about the, Noachian.
Noachian.
Yeah, right. That's it. Right. I was saying Noachian. Noachian, this covenant, the idea
Noachs.
Of... that's it. Yes. The idea of this covenant with God, that God made with him through the ark,
right.
and oh gosh, it's a really amazing story, great story, and there's a lot packed in there to this whole story.
Danny, you know, we really should see this as not a new covenant. We should see this as a reestablishment of the old covenant, even though in the garden there wasn't anything that said specifically that God made a covenant with him. And yet, the structure of the covenant's there, okay?
Yeah.
Blessing if you obey, cursing if you don't.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't make that mistake.
So that's a promise of life and God's good intentions to us and that sort of thing. So you got that covenant. It was broken, right?
Yeah.
But in God's mercy, he wins the day, even though things got pretty dark, and we were in the darkness for a while there in the last few posts, don't you think?
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. The whole... countercultural movement of Cain and his, that was a bad time, I think.
Right. And so when you think about the symbols of the original covenant, you look at the symbols of the Noachian covenant, you see the similarities, right? First man motif. You've got the garden, which is the ultimate symbol of paradise.
And the tree of life.
Right there, you know. And then you've got the ark, bobbing on the waters of chaos, and how God unleashes the boundaries of creation, but Noah is saved.
Yeah.
In this ark, which is the garden, animals.
Yeah.
And a new set of symbols, but they're all building. Which each one, there's a building. It's not. I think in a way we can almost say that all the covenants of Scripture is just one covenant.
Sure. Yeah, I think so too. And just the connections between, well, the things that I recognized and remember are the idea of all of creation, the dome of creation being like a temple, God's temple, and then the ark being like a temple, God's temple.
Right.
And like you said, that bobbing on top of the watery deep, evil, and, death.
Right.
Yeah. So there are so many connections. And so I can understand that. I mean, I understand it better now, having gone through what we've talked about so far in these podcasts, that it's just connected. You know, it's all connected.
Right. And so we've got the symbols of this covenant, which is the ark, but also the rainbow. That's very interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
The
but
sign
if you look
of hope.
Really
or...
closely at the rainbow. We really see that it's for God and not for us.
Yeah, it's for God to remember.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's...
It's not that God's a forgetter.
No, I know.
He never forgets anything, right?
Right.
But I think what it really shows is the character of God, because God sees every dirty little thing that happens in every back alley anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah,
think about that.
Yeah.
And... any of us, even though we are sinners, we'd see all this going, and inside of it, we'd have an instant reaction of justice. There must be justice.
Mm-hmm.
Come down and bring judgment, bring justice.
Bring the waters.
Right.
That's what happened.
But God's always at that point, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. So But the rainbow is there to remind him of his promise.
Yeah.
With humanity. Whenever there's an encounter, whatever there is, a covenant, there's always promise. And the promise is really eschatological in the sense that he says, for as long as time goes on, seed time and harvest, winter, summer, I will not destroy the world again like I did here.
Right. And eschatology, I think that you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that has to do with like the end time, sort of death.
Yeah, it's forward-looking, you know.
Yeah, right.
Really, the eschatological patterns established here, there's always wickedness and then there's judgment because God's going to, he has to work in judgment because he's both loving, but he's also just, right?
Sure, right, yeah.
But what it really is saying is that this world is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
Now that's big because all the pagans just thought that the world just goes on and on and on and on and on, you know, in the cycles of nature.
Sure, that's right. Everything is connected to that cycles of nature and they just saw every springtime, every winter, you know, things,
and
same things happen.
And therefore morality is not a big deal.
Right.
Because there's nothing really to pay at the end.
Yeah, right, exactly, right? Yeah.
But we're talking about linear time. We've talked about the two time, different kinds of time. Linear time is that, this linear time is going to come to a final end, and Noah's judgment becomes, and the flood becomes a picture of this.
Yeah,
okay, you know, right. So we get an idea of what it looks like, right? The judgment, awful, terrible, right? But it's not going to happen until when God's going to bring it all to an end. That's what I mean by eschatological.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so we've got Noah now. Are we at the point now where the flood is over? God is, the animals are back out again. We're all back to kind of a normal state. And he tells Noah and his family to, you know, duplicate.
That's it.
Have more children.
Increase and multiply, which is the same thing he said to Adam and
Adam
Eve.
And Eve.
So we
see
that it's really a continuation of the Noahian covenant. And just like there were stipulations in the garden, there are stipulations here.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
And what are those?
but, you know, they're pretty broad. God makes this covenant with all of humanity. And we'll see that he's going to specifically make one for Israel, his chosen people. Okay, we're going to talk about that later. But it's for all humanity, okay? And the first one has got to do with eating meat.
Yes. Okay. No, eating meat with no blood in it.
Well,
no running. Is that what that is?
You really can't eat meat with
Well,
no
I mean, it's got,
blood.
But it has to be taken out. Or
it has
no,
to be drained.
Drained,
right.
That's
okay.
It.
Yeah. Now, Danny, this is horrific to think about.
Let's not talk about it then.
Right. That implies that before the flood, the humans were probably very bestial with how they were eating, because originally humans were made to be vegetarians because they were to eat the tree of life.
Mm-hmm. Or, sure.
Yeah, right?
Fruits and plants.
And all the fruits and stuff like that. How they got their protein, maybe there have been really some cool protein food out there. Right?
Something we didn't know
that
about.
That would taste as good or better, or probably better than a juicy steak, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine that, but okay.
So you can see how far removed humanity came, and they became violent, vicious, even to the point where they may have been eating meat, like animals' meat. I mean, they bring the kill down and, you know.
Yeah, just eat it raw.
Right there, pulsating or whatever, you know what I mean? So, okay, we'll leave this now and go into God allows us to eat meat, but it has to be properly drained.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So here's not explicitly the whole idea of a prohibition of drinking blood per se. That's going to come in Leviticus.
Okay.
Right here, it's the manner by which we eat meat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So implied here is that humans are made in the image of God, and they're separate from animals. We need, it's part of our human dignity to partake of food in a...
Sure, and God made it pretty clear in a few verses that we're to have authority over animals and use them for, you know, our needs to meet our you know, food needs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good, Danny. Yeah, because animals have certain rights.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
and should be respected. So this is all part of that as well.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
God allows us all you can eat it, but you have to be very circumspect with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that all makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Okay, Danny. So the second thing has to do with murder, because we know that killing was what we saw right off the bat.
Yeah. With Cain and Abel. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to look at this in the context of when what goes before, right? So when Cain killed his brother, technically the punishment should be, well, Cain, you should die too.
Sure.
I mean, you took a life. Okay.
So that seems like the just thing, just without thinking about it a lot.
Right.
That seems like the just thing.
I mean, right off the bat, you know? And so God gives him a punishment that he was going to be a wanderer, you know, and that he is going to now not have a really close relationship with the ground because the blood of his brother is crying up from the ground.
Yes,
right.
Right. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
He is going to now not have a really close relationship with the ground because the blood of his brother is crying up from the ground,
yes,
right?
Yes, right.
So he said, oh, my judgment is too great on me. And if anybody sees me, they're going to kill me.
Right.
Okay.
And then God
so puts
God a mark on him.
So God gave him, by mm-hmm. mercy, he gave him the mark, mm-hmm. right? And we know what happened there, that as you look down his line, they became more and more and more violent.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they just took it. They took for granted that because they had the mark, that
yeah.
God wouldn't do anything to them, no matter what they did.
Right. And that's what happens when people presume on God's grace. Hopefully God's grace should lead us to repentance and gratefulness and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. But it often works the opposite, right?
Yeah, sure. Oh, well, that's human nature, you know.
What's that?
That's human nature.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
take advantage, you know. Yes.
Right.
Since
hey,
the fall,
you know, yeah. If Cain got away with it, you know, well, then I'm going to really get away with it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the sort of thing that brought the world to an end, presumption on God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And they became murderers all over the place, right? Butchering and that sort of thing. So anyways, so we have in this new start, it's putting parameters on humanity, okay, given this penchant.
Mm-hmm.
And so God instituted what we call capital punishment.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So he says, if you kill a man, then you will die.
You should die, right.
Yeah.
So the reason for it is very intriguing. Like often we think that it should be a deterrent, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, I got to think. If I'm going to kill somebody, I'm going to get killed myself, right? So I'm not going to kill somebody. I mean, that makes good logical sense.
Logical,
right?
Yeah.
But no, that doesn't make sense. We all heard about Victorian England where people are hanged for the slightest thing, okay?
Yeah.
And so someone's getting hanged, let's say, for pickpocketing, right? And everybody's there. And who are all there, too?
Yeah, kids.
Well, yeah, the pickpocketers.
Well, the pick, right, of course, yeah.
So the poor
kids
devil
watching
who used to be their friend last week's up there hanging. You
right,
know,
yeah.
And they're making a big profit on it. You see, that's just the way humans are. Capital punishment is not a deterrent. It's not that seen that way in Scripture.
Mm, gotcha.
Right? And it really isn't something that humans in and of themselves are given the power to do.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me explain. The real reason is that humans are made in the image of God.
Right.
And so when someone kills somebody, they're not really killing a person. They are.
They're not only.
Better. They're not only, thank you, Danny, for straightening me out on that. They're really killing God.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you look into each other's face, we're looking into the image of God.
Yeah. The eyes of God. Yeah.
Right. And so in God's way of thinking, this person is a God killer.
Mm.
And so God brings judgment of death upon that person. And it's only God who can legitimately do that. But he gives that over, the job over, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
to the government
okay.
of humanity, right? The governments.
Mm-hmm. And does it say that specifically in this part of?
Not specifically,
yeah, okay.
but if you read between the lines, that's what's going on. God doesn't bring that judgment, even though he's been assaulted.
Yeah, right, right.
But he commands humans to do it. And what this does, if you look at the whole context, the idea is to keep what happened before the fall with all the presumption from happening afterwards.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
If we don't have that capital punishment, then, again, it's not a deterrent, but it's an execution of one who has attacked the divine image and would get away with doing it more.
Okay.
If there's nothing to stop that person from doing it.
Yeah. I always thought that it wasn't a deterrent. It wasn't a good deterrent because a person who would even consider killing another person, you know, in a premeditated way, like
right.
they planned it out.
Yeah.
They're not thinking right anyway. So
right.
why would they consider someone else being killed who's done the same thing as they're about to do? Why would they consider that to be a deterrent to them? They're already kind of
right.
off the mark, you know, as far as where their brain is headed.
Well, sin is irrational.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
when you get at this level of sinning,
mm-hmm.
It's diabolic.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Right? So this has been the assumption of Scripture. It's been the assumption of church for 2,000 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It always fascinates me that Paul, let's say, in Romans chapter 12 and elsewhere, and you'll read it elsewhere in the New Testament, that we should obey the government.
Right.
And
yep.
that the government is a arm of God in bringing justice to the world, okay?
Yeah, right.
And then I think of Paul living with the Roman government. Danny, I'm not sure if you study Roman history.
Nope.
Well, we all heard of Roman justice, and you know our jurisprudence comes down from the Roman and also from Jewish law, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but I mean, good heavens. I mean, what was going with all these power struggles, you know, generals vying for power. It's a mess, Danny. The government was a mess, especially in Paul's time,
mm-hmm.
because the Caesars, which started out pretty good with Caesar Augustus, and there was a sense of justice and well-being. By the time Nero was around, I mean, the place was a mess.
Yeah, sure.
And yet Paul could still say that the government, which is going to put him to death.
Yeah, yeah. Has the authority.
Has the authority to put
yeah.
people to death.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that yeah. makes me scratch my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then continuing that thought until, you know, the 1930s, 40s, 50s, into the 60s, with the way that blacks were treated, the Civil
oh,
War.
Oh, my goodness.
The, you know, the government was... full on for racism. You know what I mean? The,
well,
and
even,
if it took somebody standing up and not listening to the government
right.
to get us to where we are today, which is in a way better place, of course.
Well, I don't know. I mean, think about this. Have you ever heard of a rich man being executed for a crime?
Yeah,
have
good
you?
Question. Yeah.
If you got good lawyers?
Yeah.
No. I can think of only one happening one time. I remember back in the 80s, a very rich lawyer did away his wife or something like that, you know, and he decided to defend himself, and his lawyer said, no, that's not a good
yeah.
idea.
Okay. Yeah, bad plan.
Bad plan. And I think he did actually get executed, or went to the death row. I don't know what happened to him, but that's the only time I've ever,
yeah,
you know. And if you look at those who are executed, they're always the poor.
Oh yeah, no.
And of the poor, sure. A lot of them are black.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So you have to ask yourself the question, what does this mean?
Right.
Okay. It's just a hard nut to crack.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Catechism, famously in 2018, changed it, and this is what they say: in light of the gospel, the death penalty is inadmissible because it is an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person. Okay. Now, this too is a problem, okay, because exegetically, it really doesn't stand.
Yeah, it doesn't fit with Scripture, yeah.
Because the Scripture says it's not about humans that this should be done.
Mm.
It's because of the
image of God.
Viability of God, man, right?
Yes, right.
Right. So this statement of catechism, exegetically, is not, I don't think is strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, of course, that implies that if we did the claim that it's wrong now, that means for 2,000 years we've been saying it's wrong, right?
Yeah, sure.
The church has been wrong.
Yeah, we've been wrong about what we've said
prior to that. Yeah, right, right. That's our thing. So I'm not arguing one way or the other, Danny, here. We need to talk about how difficult this whole thing is.
Sure, absolutely.
But it's always been difficult, Danny. It's not just now. It's, and I'm not one, Danny, to think, the world's getting a better place. And so, we can get rid of the death penalty now because, we've got prisons. Well, that's a whole nother story.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you're not kidding.
Oh, good. Send them to prison.
We'll have to save that for a future podcast. Yeah.
Well, anyways, that is basically what we've talked about here. I don't know how the time's coming here, but...
we're at 23, so we've...
Okay, we're getting longer, Danny. I think we're getting more and more excited about this stuff.
I think you're right.
We started out with 15 minutes, now it's 20.
It's easier to just talk through this, all of these the stories and things. We're getting into more and more great, stories that we can spend time talking, and the time just passes by pretty quick. But let's close this one up. So.
Okay. God bless you.
So we're good. Thanks. Thanks a lot for coming in. We'll see you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.